Did you turn down the theme there? Thank you so much. Hello there. Welcome to this edition. Show number
199, in fact, today.
199, as a matter of fact, today.
Yeah.
199. Tom Houston is not here. If he was, then I wouldn't be going, well, would I? No, I wouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's turn his mic off so we don't have him on. But in place of Tom Houston, well, not in place of, but Don Patterson is here with us. Donald?
Well, I thought it was just going to say in spite of Tom Houston.
In spite
Houston.
Of Tom Houston.
Yeah. In spite of Tom Houston. I'm here, by golly.
Don Patterson is here, and Don Shaw is among the living.
Yep.
Visiting with us today. I'm trying to get regular. I've got a different microphone here, and I'm not used to it, and I already don't like it. Dale Campbell is also with us, not in the house, but in his beautiful home in Clear Lake City, or wherever they only. Where do you live?
Yeah, Clear Lake City. That's close enough.
Close enough.
Clear Lake City's close enough, huh?
Yeah, after all the rain yesterday, we dang near floated out into the bay, but that's all right.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain today. Y'all had rain yesterday?
Yeah, it rained all day yesterday. We had about 4 to 5 inches, I guess.
Wow.
So your little cookout yesterday didn't work out too well.
No, it was a cook-in.
Yeah, that's it.
That'll happen. We got it today. I guess the same thing you all got.
Yeah, we got it today.
We got big-time rain today. So other than that, what's going on? Nothing? Selling lots of stuff there at the old Blind Mice Mart place?
Yeah, we're getting ready for, you know, Father's Day's rolling around the corner, so we're doing some stuff there. We just threw a special out to all the Blind Mice Mart members, and we've got a four-piece 18-volt rechargeable cordless tool set.
Uh-huh.
It's got a drill and a sander and a flashlight, which does a lot of us totally blind folks a lot of good.
Oh,
and
really helps. That's a lot, yes.
You know, a little jigsaw also with a little 18-volt. But I tell you, man, I've owned, you know, Black & Decker. I've owned Craftsman, Makita, all those different cordless drills. And this one, this little guy is by far one of the best little cordless drills I've ever had.
How much?
And the same battery will operate all those tools? And
same battery operates all the tools. We're letting them go for $80.
$80.
All right.
Boy, that's not a...
How many
like 190 value. I'm sorry?
How many batteries come with it?
One battery.
One
but
battery?
You can get it. We've got extra batteries for $18.
All right, so you get drill, flashlight, sander, and...
And a jigsaw.
And, jigsaw.
And a jigsaw. Okay.
And a battery. And a carrying case.
Okay.
And a charger.
And it's
that's a fine deal.
And what is the brand name?
Drillmaster.
Drillmaster.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd never heard of them before. I got it as a gift for Christmas a year and a half ago. And I tell you what, I put that little dude through a heck of a time, and he's still trucking.
And so you found a source on them, and away we go, right?
Yeah, that's it. Finally tracked down the source and was able to get some in and got them in at a great price for everybody. So
yeah, sounds
80,
like a
80
good
bucks.
Deal.
This is for Father's Day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
By
the time this runs, boy, they'll probably be gone. We've already had one lady called in. She wants two of them, and somebody else has left a message wanting one of them. So, they've got a circular saw also that I'm going to get, a cordless circular saw, 18-volt saw that I'm going to check out as well. I think it's a 5 1/4 or 6-inch blade. So, you know, nothing big, but still nice when you've just got a couple little pieces
to
rip or cut.
It'd be great for your, what we call, Don and Sean and I always do this, I have dirty tools and clean tools. That would be a nice little clean tool set.
Yep, sure.
Exactly.
Would.
Keep in the house, in the silverware drawer, and anytime you got mad at your wife, just whip it out.
I'd say it's great as long as you do not get the battery has been discontinued. Notice a lot of us craftsmen.
Yeah. You'd want your batteries to.
Us craftsmen tool owners have whole sets that have almost never been touched.
All sorts of
yeah. In fact, I've got a Craftsman drill I'll let go real cheap to somebody if they want it.
And I'll even throw in two batteries, so neither one of them are any good.
Well, you know, I'm not sure my battery failed. My charger failed. The charger that charges them doesn't.
Well, we need to bring my charger.
Does your charger work?
Well, I don't know. My batteries don't.
Because I tied the AC across one of the batteries and just, you know, charged it that way one time. And it seemed to work right. So you could order more of these. You got lots of these, right? Blind Mice Mart?
Yeah, we can get more of these for sure.
Okay. $80? $80,
what a deal.
Yeah.
What a deal. Yeah, what a deal.
It's a great little value.
Give the man a call. What is your phone number there, sir?
It is 713-893-7277.
All right. Maybe sell a few of those. And all kinds of goodies from Blind Mice Mart. Go to the website and look around.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Just cool
stuff. And right now, I mean, we've got all the scholarship winners. You know, all the judges are getting their essay scores in. So for me, it's almost like last weekend, you know, watching the Indy race and the NASCAR race. I mean, this kid's ahead, and then these judges' scores come in, and then this kid's ahead. So it's kind of cool. It's like a little horse race.
Yeah, well, I wasn't asked to be a judge this year. Am I out? What's the deal?
Well, we had 15 essays this year.
Yeah, you didn't need it. You got plenty of judges.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got people spread out of coast to coast. So.
That's good. And when will the final deal on that be?
Final deal will be, this weekend, in fact. June the 2nd is when all the scores are supposed to be in.
When you get all the winners, let's do that thing again we did 3 or 4 years ago and call them all. Talk to them. And,
yeah.
That'd be
I
a
think
neat
that'll
deal.
Be cool.
Yeah. Let's do that. We can do that either as a handyman or blind like me, either one. I like that. That's good.
And those young, that'll be fun. We've got some great applicants this year and a lot of them, which is really nice. And some interesting kids, I'll tell you. Very interesting kids.
I wonder sometimes, we, a bunch of old farts like us, we don't involve youth, blind, young blind people. We've got a lot of old people, but we don't. So let's do that if you think about it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, Mr. Pat is going to read us some what we call list mail. Houston would normally do it if he were here, but Tom got a stent put in his heart, and he feels worse now than he did before they put the stent. And it should be the other way around. He should feel a hell of a lot better, but he says he feels worse. So I think the doctors are looking at him today, and maybe by next week he'll be back. But if not, we'll do a little letter writing campaign and force him.
I tell you what, if he doesn't feel better next weekend, I'll come up. We'll bring one of these tool kits up, and we'll work on him ourselves.
Yeah, we'll take that hard apart.
It'll be the Blind Handyman Surgeon Show.
That's right.
Go ahead, Pat.
All right, just some comments and a question or two here. This one says, "Hi all, I just had to toss out a set of bar clamps. They were 24-inch clamps. When I went to use one yesterday, I had a nasty sliver of metal in my finger, and blood drops all over my project.
Oh, not good.
Along the side of one of the clamps, the metal, I'm assuming plated, started peeling off. When I attempted to close the clamp, a razor-sharp piece of metal ended up in my finger. I then asked Karen to look at the other clamp, and although not yet peeling, she said it looked like it might. These clamps are about 12 years old. They are the type that has very small notches both top and bottom of the bar. I have a few more in different lengths.
Yeah.
I think from now on I will first take a cotton rag and rub along both sides or both in both directions. If there is some peeling metal, it should snag the rag as opposed to my finger. I never thought a bar clamp could bite me.
Yeah.
Well, you might throw those away and buy some new ones here, big fella.
My question is, I wonder where he keeps. Does it look like if those were kept inside, and I'm assuming metal, I mean, he says it's peeling if you squirted them and hung them up on the wall, put a little WD-40 or a little oil, lightweight oil. I'm amazed that they would do that being kept inside. So
we're not sure they were kept inside.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if they've had some rough treatment along the way.
Yeah, that part we don't know.
But that is a good idea. The rag, I would, boy, that would, and for a blind guy to hurt a hand or finger is just, it's really, it matters more to us than it does to just a sighted person, and just to get it unexpected like that would really make you mad.
And that metal does hurt in your, because I was working back when I was doing the plumbing project on the kitchen sink I was telling y'all about. I was rubbing the valve with my finger where I was going to take the hose and screw it on the valve and checking it, and I did the same thing. Got a sliver of metal.
Yeah, old rust or
that.
Oily, just grimy, gritty, galvanized anything, or like he said, plated metal, and a sliver of that in your finger is not good.
But I've never seen plated metal do that I know of. Have you, Dale?
No, I never have either. I was just sitting here thinking, I mean, it'd be a good idea to chunk those dudes and go buy some new ones anyway, because they've got all kinds of cool new clamps now over a decade ago, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they don't use those notched clamps anymore. The kind I've got, look like them, but they're just a long piece of metal, and they just grab anywhere. I mean, you don't have to have a notch. They just, yeah, you know, yeah. You just let it go, and buddy, it grabs that, and they'll
grab like crazy.
Oh man, you could pull the car with it.
Yeah. Now, do you have any of those the new trigger ones, the trigger grips?
That's exactly what I have.
I think he has heard that. Yeah,
that's exactly what I have.
Those are awesome.
I have,
and then I bought some others. I just bought the old standard type too. Some like for bigger ones, some 5 foot pieces of pipe, and you know, and use the old traditional pipe bar clamp as well.
Just a C clamp, you mean?
For the heavy duty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a pipe clamp. I tell you, I used one, and I had it. It was like on a 36-inch piece of pipe, so you could do some serious damage if you wanted to.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was going to say, if you get too long of a bar clamp, I mean, like if you're using, you know, 24 inches or smaller, you can use the more lightweight or the single bar clamps.
Right.
Yeah. And because if you do, like Don was just saying, if you go to tighten down and bear down on those dudes, those small ones will bow and bend.
They will.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you got your big old heavy piece of 3/4-inch pipe, that dude's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, not going anywhere.
My only complaint with my pipe vise clamps are that the jaws are too small, too shallow. I wish they made, and they may. That bigger jaws where, you know, because sometimes these, they look real awesome, and they have, I mean, you can put a lot of pressure, but it's like you have a very little surface area to grab something with, as opposed to certain other kind of clamps.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it'd be cool if they'd make them like a deep clamp, you know, of the 3 or 4 inch bar up there or jaw area. That'd be awesome.
Man, I bet if you went to Lowe's, there are tables and tables of different kinds of clamps.
I bet there are, too.
The neatest clamp I've got a couple little corner clamps that do two ways. You can clamp up, you know, if you've done a mitered corner, you can clamp it in, and, buddy, it's going to be exact.
Yeah, picture frame clamps.
Yeah, you're going to get the exact corners, and you're not going to wonder with your square there
trying to figure out.
It's going to be
perfectly square.
I bought two huge C-clamps, I'll tell you. I don't know what the opening is on them, but they were like $12 or $13 a piece.
Yeah.
And so they were, I mean, sometimes there's nothing will take the place of a clamp.
Of a C-clamp. That's...
You know, one time we were talking about in construction, you need something that will either pull or push something, because you're going to have something that won't give where you want it to give, and you either need a way to grab it over there or push it away.
That's right.
All right, go ahead, Donald.
Okay, another, and I don't know if this one, I don't know if that was from Lenny, or the next one is Lenny the way, but that may have been from Lenny. Lenny.
So I think
anyway,
it was,
here's another one. This is an interesting comment. It said, it's amazing how fast you become isolated when it's time to open the pool, but the minute it's up and running, just like magic, everyone reappears.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about the way it works.
Boy, speaking as one of the three of us pool owner here, I agree. I thought he misphrased it here. It's really the isolation begins when the pool closes, and you never see them, but they always tell you they're going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Next.
And I told Phil that I sort of combated that during the off season with some notable users of my pool. I just scheduled in a work day a couple of times here, and believe it or not, they showed up. So,
well, that's great.
It is.
Give them a towel and let them go swimming.
Yeah, or no, a brush and let them brush.
Yeah, brush.
There you go.
Net.
There you go.
Well, you know, I remember before you built your house, Pat, and before you bought that other house, when I was the only one that had a pool,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot more friends then. Of course, both my friends now have pools, or two of my friends now have pools. And but we've got Scott's kids come, and I told Luann yesterday I'd fill this damn pool up if I could, and she said, no, we can't do that till Scott's kids get grown. And Tori's 8 and Beth is 3, so I got a ways.
Oh, yeah.
You got a long way.
I got a ways to go.
I don't know. Buy them a car when they're 10, and they'll forget all about it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got an above ground. Do you have a pool, Dale? You do. Well, you have an
in-ground pool? We've got an in-ground pool.
You do? I didn't realize that. I guess I did on some level.
Yeah, it's a little one. It's just kind of like a lap pool, about 9 by 25, and deep ends like 4.5 feet, and shallow ends 3 feet.
Yeah,
I tell people to be careful and don't trip over it when they go out. It's kind of tiny, but man, it's nice to hop in and chill out and relax. And, you know,
no more than I use mine. That would be plenty big enough for me.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference how big the pool is. You've still got to put chlorine in it.
I was going to say you still got to take care of the water.
Still got to vacuum.
You know, there's a lot of people changing over to these to the new saltwater pools.
Yeah.
All right,
and
I have one.
That is, boy, that's a really, really great way to go. Low maintenance.
How much is the conversion to change if you have to change from freshwater to a saltwater?
Ours cost us to go into it, and we did it in the new construction part, and it's just a matter of your pump and everything. It was $2,500. I think it's about $3,000. He may have cut us a little deal. It allegedly is supposed to save you, or we calculated one time, if you listened to all of the chemicals, they said you would save about $500 a year, or thus the payback would be in 5 years, that you would save that with the initial cost. I haven't found that to be the case. I don't put a lot of chlorine in mine like y'all do, but I have salt to the tune of $9 a bag that I buy, and I may put, say, 4 or 5 in a year, which is not a big deal. I do buy shock, because on occasions I do shock mine, same as y'all do after a big rain.
Well, yeah. I think we're talking about apples and oranges. Your pool is not salt water, is it, Pat?
Yes.
Your water is salt water in your pool.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize
it's
that.
It's a salt water system. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, it's not like the ocean water. You can drink it. The dogs drink it. But any salt water pool is that way. I mean, it's not ocean water. But it's
like a real mild salt. You can open your eyes underwater and everything. It won't irritate
Actually,
them.
It's better on your skin, so they say.
Really?
Uh-huh. It just, the only thing you have is just with the salt in there, then you have the cell that fits in your pump someplace that generates its own chlorine. Chemically, with the salt and whatever, it makes chlorine where y'all are putting in the pills physically mine is supposed to be making. A lot easier on brushing. I haven't vacuumed the pool that often. I have the pool cleaner, too, the Polaris, that I'm having trouble with right now. But the pool seems to stay a little cleaner.
Well, it was my understanding that there are pools now that are actually like ocean water, that are salt water pools.
I don't know about that.
Maybe somebody will know. But it seems like
I don't know if there's any that are, quote-unquote, like ocean salt water, but... I mean, you know, the new saltwater pools that they're just a little, real low, low grade of salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what mine is. Just...
And like Don's saying, they work to kind of generate their own chlorine, so you don't have to put as much chlorine, as much shock, as a bunch of the other chemicals and stuff in them. So,
it's
long haul.
I didn't have any luck with that.
I haven't had. Where I've seen non-salt water, just the regular chlorine pools, where the water sometimes just will really go south. For, you know, in a week's time, if you didn't do a lot to
it
or something.
Will.
Mine has never offered to do that, and I've done very little maintenance to it. And so this, after all the rain, like I say, I recovered it for each swimming season. Like, I shock it to get it back up. And then the difference in mine, I think the pH on a normal pool runs low. Y'all can correct me, but maybe it's just the opposite. And mine runs high. So each week I add a half a gallon of muriatic acid to keep the pH down.
See, right. I'm always trying to raise ours.
Okay,
so mine
is high, and that's what I do the acid. Every Sunday, about 1 o'clock, I dump a half a gallon acid in there and go from there. And I do the same other things, like the HTH or whatever, the antifungus.
Yeah.
You know, I do that. But anyway, that's sort of it. Well, we got one more.
All right.
Let's see here. Hello, all. A few months ago, there was a discussion lubricating light sockets. At the time, I didn't think I would need to keep the information. Well, as usual, I was incorrect. What was the best product to use? I have an outside porch light where the bulb has oxidized. For some reason, WD-40 comes to mind.
No.
I want to replace with one of the... of those high-efficiency 14-volt fluorescent bulbs. I do not want that one to break off. When it becomes time to change, maybe I will never have to replace it. It is so... this is confusing. All right, Don. No, it is to last 9 years, and this...
What?
This incandescent bulb has been in place for at least 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Lenny. So
we have a good response to this written down there.
Well, I can just say this. Don't use WD-40.
Don't use WD-40.
It's conductive.
No. And
all
that's
right,
what
Lenny?
The response says.
Lenny, do you hear that? Do not use WD-40. All right, and here's somebody with a good...
It can be a shocking experience if you use WD-40.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yes,
so get that metal ladder out there and grab a hose.
Yeah.
That's right, Lenny. You can have a little problem here.
That's right. And here's a good response. It says, hi, Lenny. Get some conductive grease. Try an auto parts store. And then I have to turn the page.
I don't know if that's right or not.
It conductive says, grease. Also, how cold does it get where you are in the... Where you are in the winter, I was told that the makers of those bulbs, they will not work below 0 degrees or will take a while to turn on.
I've heard that.
Living up there in northeast Minnesota, it easily gets down to 40 below.
Yeah, he'll have a problem.
I wanted to use 5 of the 100-watt bulbs in the unheated garage. Whoops, so much for big savings.
Yeah.
I wonder if that grease that I bought to use on the patio, I wonder if it's conductive or not. I have no idea. But WD-40 is. I learned that. I think I've told this story before about the guy spraying in the teletype machine, and it knocked him out in the hall.
Yeah,
I mean,
not good.
This was Lester, and he was a 300-pounder. It struck him pretty hard.
Yeah.
WD-40 ain't the stuff to use.
No.
On the fluorescent lights, obviously we don't get that cold. I use some outside, the little floodlights in the pavilion. They're undercover, but they're exposed to the elements. And it, when they get cooler, they get the longer it takes them to get to full capacity. But they turn on if your porch light is enclosed. And when the light comes on, so it takes it a little, it's a few seconds, it's dim, but the heat in its compartment would eventually warm it up. I would not be afraid to use it, unless you're 40 degrees below all the time, forget it. Don't go outside. What do you need a porch light for if it's 40 degrees?
Damn cold.
Who the hell's going out?
If you're blind, what do you need a porch light for? But anyway, what I think he's worried about taking the old bulb out, breaking it to pieces.
Yeah.
Taking it out. Just, if it breaks, take a pair of pliers and get the socket out. That's easy enough. Put the new one in and don't worry about it.
Yeah, and if the bulb did break, you don't have to try to unscrew that socket. You can get it on the edge. Nah. Try to bend it out of there. Squeeze it together and then put you some, then, make sure if you can find the breaker, then put you some lubricant up there and just get it out.
Put lubricant up there.
Well, I mean,
it's
grease.
What would not conduct? You'd have to find something that wasn't conductive.
No, I said if he has a breaker off and he finds that grease, you might put a... But you can break that socket out of there,
sure,
even if the glass breaks. You can get that up.
Take a screwdriver and remove it.
Right, those sockets are nothing but a little like tin or aluminum.
Yeah, they're just soft.
They'll peel right out of there pretty easily.
Very soft metal. I got one upstairs that we'll talk about someday that's a little fluorescent that I cannot get apart. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. Anyway, Lee A. Stone is our guest. We haven't talked to Lee A. in a while. I think he's been under the weather, and it's been about a year and a half since we've visited with him. So we're going to do that in just a minute. Hang on, more. Dale Campbell is with us. Both the Dons, Don Pat, Don Shaw, and Phil Parr. Hang on, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Blind Handyman is where we are. I'm Phil Parr, along with Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and the honorary Dale Campbell with
us today.
I think
Don Shaw took a hike.
Don Shaw,
I don't think he's not here.
Well, he's not here, but he may be back, won't he?
He may not.
I think he'll probably come back. You have anything else for me?
Huh?
Everything else?
No, sir. That was it.
Okay. We have a guest, gentleman we haven't talked to in a long time. I don't know if he's been sick or we've been blind or what the deal is. Lee A. Stone, how are you, sir? Hello? Let's see. Now, let's try this again. Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
I'm right here, just having the big time. What's going on in up north?
Up north, we're getting ready for the big, what I call blind race, but actually it's a race with a bunch of blind drivers raising money for a good program called Camp Abilities.
That's pretty amazing. Blind drivers. I guess you're one of them, huh?
Yep, and I'm not going to interject here, but I would suppose that you gentlemen are probably sitting at that location just across the river from the Trinity River. So I'm joining you. I'm having a little vodka and Crystal Light concoction here.
Well, that's fine. That sort of matches ours. I don't know. We have three or four different things going this afternoon. But anyway, you're going to drive in this demolition derby, huh?
Well, it's not really. I call it a demolition derby, but they call it a race because I got one gentleman in mind, and I hope he's listening out there. Probably not. I've invited him. Anyway, the gentleman drives a number called 00 Camry car, and I've collided with him before with my different cars that I've been driving for the last 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, I will just say that we're all blind at different levels. I know that I'm what was called a total, but they're people at different levels. There's even females. Fantastic females are involved, and usually anyway, it's a good fundraiser. We have a lot of fun. It's the only time of year I get the chance to drive. Nobody else lets me drive this damn vehicle. So,
yeah. Well, you know, I heard you talk about this or referred to it on the list two or three times. How did this get? What is the derivation? How did this get started originally? And what charity does it fund?
Well, the charity is Camp Abilities, and this is not just here in New York State. It's a I'm not sure if it's nationwide, but it's in many different states. Folks can go to www.campabilities.org, and they can find a website. The lady's name is Dr. Lauren Lieberman. She runs the programs. I believe it started in Alaska. I'm not sure about that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I know she was running short on funds. Everybody's got cutbacks on funds for different reasons, and she had called the radio station, which I can't mention because they've had some problems. anyway, see if they could help with a fundraiser. Well, that started some 6 years ago, and we've been having a blast then. We've had a major so-called blind organization try to stop the race because they're taking advantage of blind racers, and I get on the radio, and I said, you know what? Go ahead, take advantage of me.
Yeah no kidding. It'd
I'll
be fun. Yeah,
they can't take advantage of you unless you want them to.
So Lee, how do you raise the money? In other words, do people sponsor you by the minute or by the mile or by the? I mean, how does the money get into the system?
Well, we try to do what they call major fundraising. For instance, I have my local store where half my family works at Walmart. They do a bake sale, and then the store does matching funds. Another sponsor I had was a large cement plant, but they backed out. And for instance, today I've been making phone calls to cycle shops, to banks, to different places, and sending them files to let them know here's what we're doing. We're raising money to help kids who go to a summer camp program who happen to be blind, blind, deaf, blind, different levels of different types of blindness. It all has to do with children who are blind, children who are school age, and it gives them a summer program, and it really surprises some people. And I appreciate the chance to talk about this. It surprises some people that some of the instructors at this summer program are blind too. I wish I could think of the girl's name, but one of the number one archery instructors is a totally blind woman who's been blind since birth.
Really?
Get her on the blind like me and the blind handyman list.
We need her audience, and she teaches archery, and she's totally blind.
Totally blind.
What a guess.
Now that.
And this is at the State University of New York at what they call at Brockport. And but anyway, there's many different people who are instructors there. They're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. The only money that we raise is spent is to get kids. What it is, it's a university which has, like any other major university, has dorms.
Yeah.
The money covers the cost of the rooms for the kids to get into these programs. That's all.
That's really strange. My wife and I, my wife is a teacher of the visually impaired, and we were going to work a summer camp, a week-long project at the University of Stephen F. Austin University, which is about 30 miles. And all we needed was eight kids to make the program work, and we only had three sign up, so they canceled the program.
Man.
We were kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
If I could, just suggest try that again and again and again until you get kids involved. Eventually, the word will get out. That's the way it started here in New York, so I'm told. And I know they do this in different parts of the country. They don't fundraise the same way we do. The fundraiser with the drivers all happened to do with a gentleman who was a fantastic DJ, and I can give you his name. It's they call Wolfman Bob. But the reason why the radio station can't do it this year is because they're a part of what's called Clear Channel. And unfortunately, because of a previous contact with Clear Channel, and this is my opinion only, Clear Channel can no longer sponsor events because some lady passed away during a... You gentlemen probably heard about drinking too much water and she drowned.
Yeah, I heard of that. Sure, yeah.
Okay, well anyway, the station I used to do business with was a part of that system nationwide. Clear Channel is across the country, and I'm not promoting them. But anyway, I would suggest that you just keep going back because there are many, many blind kids out there, as we all know, because we were all kids at one time, too, and I'm still a kid. I'm going to be 61 this year. And if I wasn't still a kid, I wouldn't be out there bouncing around in a car waiting for somebody to pull up on my left and try to slam the hell out of me or something.
There you go.
Okay, so the radio station is giving you no help this year. How are you advertising? How are you promoting?
My telephone, some of it says individuals are taking out newspaper ads and things, trying to promote it that way. And I got to tell you, I think it's going to work. That we're at a different racetrack this year for many different reasons, which I don't have all the information on. I will say it's going to be interesting for me because I've never driven a car on a racetrack that has every turn is banked. In other words, they told me this racetrack we're going to, which is Lebanon Valley Speedway, and you could look at that, LebanonValleySpeedway.com. The only flat spot on the track is the straightaway.
Uh-huh.
So if I can get up probably above 55 miles an hour, I will qualify. Last year I didn't because I had a car that just didn't want to get out of its own way. The fastest I've ever been in a car is 64 miles an hour, which was several years ago. I had an old Ford Escort wagon. No tailgate, no windshield, no side windows.
Whoa.
Doors were wired shut, but that car would go like hell in second gear, let me tell you.
Are these just regular street legal, I mean, not street legal, but to cars that at one time ran on the street?
Well, yeah, most of these cars all ran on the street. Most of them are pulled out of a salvage yard.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to get somebody to donate a car this year. Actually, this year... a fantastic magazine for sighted people, Car and Driver Magazine, is sponsoring a car and a reporter who will be on the scene. So some reporter is probably wearing a set of Depends, and he's going to be in one of these cars with a microphone. I'm going to take Dale Campbell's advice and try to wear a microphone this year. So, and you guys, I'll leave it up to you to edit what I've said.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, last year I had a brother who was a co-driver. That's not allowed anymore. No more family members. It has to be somebody that's driven on that racetrack. But he kept telling me, "Pull right, pull right." I said, "What do you mean, pull right? Somebody's trying to cut me off." And there's a few other words that were involved. Well, come to find out, it was a concrete wall that was trying to cut me off. I kept slamming the concrete wall, and I thought somebody was trying to cut me off on the left.
Yeah.
So hey Lee, is this racetrack? Is it how long is it? You know, half a mile, 3/8? Is it concrete or dirt or?
It's a dirt track, and I believe it's a full mile track.
Oh yeah,
right on.
Yeah,
man, you're gonna have a blast on a bigger track.
That'd be great.
It sounds like something Dale would like to be involved in. Wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you?
If I could get up there, you betcha.
I don't know if he will. The one that's promoting is Mr. Don Doherty. is to play an MP3 which Dale sent me after my first race, which was a Hot Rod Lincoln, and I have that. I still have that in my computer.
Go ahead. Yeah, Dale, you ought to go up there and drive in this race. That'd be great. As a, you know,
blind mice fun with it.
It'd be great fun.
That would be a hoot. That would be a
blind
mice
Mark
y'all.
Could sponsor you, and you
blind,
know,
blind mice Mark. When is the race, Lee?
Well, let me tell you, my gentlemen, my first race many years ago. When I pulled out of the sidetrack, somebody sponsored me to drive in an older Toyota station wagon. I didn't get too far down the track, and all of a sudden, wham! The guy says, "Hey, you're really blind." I said, "Yeah, I'm really blind." Why? He said,
"I remember you posting this." So the guy didn't think you were blind. The guy thought you were faking it, right?
But earlier, as we're sitting in the parking lot, we're all lined up, and you're revving your engines, and this guy's explaining to me how to hold your hands 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock and all that stuff. Well, after I hit that concrete wall, he said, "Well, forget all about the damn 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock because the front end's messed up now, but just back her up and let's go like hell."
Now, Dale, when is this race, Lee?
June 9th. It's at Lebanon Valley Speedway in the upper part of Columbia County in New York State, right close to the Massachusetts border. It's a very big speedway for all kinds of... They have a dirt track. They have a blacktop track. What do they call it? Oh, they race funny cars up there, too. Those street rods and many different types of races. I think they call it a variable track, so they can host any kind of an event. But it's right on New York State Route 20 up in West Lebanon, New York.
Yeah, well,
awesome place.
Probably a little late for this year, Dale Campbell, right?
Yeah, it's a little late this year. But I'll tell you what, man, that would be fun as heck to do.
It would be next year.
You know, next summer we ought to try to see about planning on getting up there for that, y'all.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. Let Blind Mice Smart sponsor you driving in this. We ought to be able to get some national publicity about this thing. I would.
Oh, I think
it'd be a great idea.
Blind people driving cars doesn't happen every day.
That's true.
I think you need to call... some major news sources, call, you know, see if you can't get yourself some national publicity, Lee. I think it's worthy of national, you know, national coverage.
In the near future, it's odd. My wife has a Land Rover Discovery, and she does mud, you know, off-road climbing.
Yeah.
And there's one event
I'd love to do that.
And there's
where does she do that?
Well, she does it about 100 miles north of here. It's all over. In fact, we're going to Colorado at some point, but she goes about 100 miles from here. But anyway, one of their events, and I've been elected, is you have a blindfolded driver, and it cannot be the car owner, and they have to, which I'm going to be perfect because I'm partially sighted anyway, and then you have to listen to directions. They talk you up the hill. You follow, you're blindfolded or can't see at all, and you have to follow their instructions and get up these climbs.
Really?
So, right.
Anyway, we'll see how that works.
I'll tell you what, I'd like to see you come back with the program on that just to see how that works, because you know what? We need to institute more of these ideas nationwide to let more blind people. I'm not saying every blind person should be out on a major highway somewhere.
I agree with you.
No, I don't. Yeah.
Down here in Houston, though, they encourage the blind to drive because they've got Braille on the freeways and all the drive-through ATM machines have Braille on them. So
yeah,
they encourage us to drive.
You think they're encouraging the blind to drive down there? Huh?
Yeah.
I get a little upset because my wife sometimes, she's a sighted person, she gets confused at where she goes, pull up to the next sign you see. See if I can jump out and see if it's in Braille. Of course, nobody has
that.
Yeah,
she doesn't want to buy me a GPX system because, well, I won't go there. Not that women always know where they're driving, but anyway.
But, they don't want you to tell them they're wrong.
Yeah.
So you would really be, if you had a GPS system, you'd really be a backseat driver, right?
Phil, have you ever driven?
There was a time when I drove every new car I owned. I haven't done that lately, but yes, I used to. We bought a brand new car in '64, the first one I ever owned, and yes, I drove it. It was an Impala Chevrolet, and I drove it.
Yeah, I don't guess you want to tell them the beach story that you were driving.
Was I driving? I thought you were driving.
No, you were driving.
What did I do?
And when the police got you, officer, and they
that wasn't the beach. That was over on Harrisburg.
Oh, okay.
That was on Harrisburg. There were four of us driving, and they I've told this story before. They There were four of us. We took turns driving, and one of the side had been, in fact, John Bennett actually ran the station wagon into a parked car in a fence.
Oh,
and the guy came out, and he talked to us a while, and he just talked to us, and he let the record driver took me home. And I saw him in a club years later and asked him, you know, why did you do that? And he said, well, hell, he said, I'd have been the laughing stock of the police stations. They would have.
Yeah, how come you didn't arrest us?
Why didn't you arrest us?
Yeah. He said, not me.
No, he said, I'm not crazy. He said, they would have laughed at me for the next 6 years about bringing four blind guys in driving a car.
Yeah.
And he's correct, you know, so he didn't. His name was Laird. Remember, Pat?
Yeah, Officer Laird.
But, yeah, Glee, I've driven cars. I used to have a lot more nerve than I do now. I'm an old man now. I don't do that sort of thing anymore. I let Mama drive.
Well, I don't consider myself an old man. I'm just a child that never left the 60s or something. But, yeah, I'm going to be 61 sometime. Oh, September 11th.
September 11th. Your birthday September 11th?
Yeah, same as Susie's.
That's what I was going to say. Same as Susie's. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
Hi, Miss Susie. How are you?
Well, let's see.
Lee, do they do any other modifications to the cars other than, do they put special tires on them? I mean, like slicks or anything? Or you just run standard street tires? Or?
Actually, no. I feel sorry for some people. I've been very, very lucky in the past. The car comes right off the salvage yard usually, or somebody donates a car, unless someone custom builds a car. But most of the cars come out of a salvage yard. They make sure they run. They pour a little bit of gas in them, about 4 gallons of gas. And then we just go. The only thing they do special is they wire down the hoods. And they wire close the doors. They use a heavy-duty cable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
So the doors can't come, the hood can't come up, and the doors can't come open.
All right, so Lee, real quick, though, are all of the contestants in the race blind, and is the bottom line to be the last man standing, the last man running? I mean,
no, the bottom line is they have, and I forget the number of laps. I should know because this would be my sixth year, but there's a certain number of laps. They have two qualifying races because there's so many people. There's anywhere from 20 to 28 people that want to race.
All blind?
Qualifying races. So the best eight out of two races run, and then they run like they would a regular race. They run around this track. And then when your sighted driver says the checker flag is up, that's it. And you run on through. Now, I've never won, but I've always had a blast.
Okay, so in other words, each car is a blind driver with a sighted guide, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then it's...
The track that we're going to go to this year, they have had something similar in the past. They're going to ask, instead of blindfolds, they're going to ask that a plain brown paper bag be put over the driver's chest. It doesn't make any difference. What your sight is, you will be totally blind because there will be a bag over your head. Now,
okay.
I'll say another funny thing. I always borrow a racing helmet. I have my own racing suit. It's a NASCAR-approved... I had several different donations to buy that suit, but I borrow a helmet from a guy.
Uh-huh.
And the first year I borrow the helmet, it has a bubble shield on it. And he says, I got two car shields. One is a dark purple, one's a light one. Which one do you want? I said, doesn't make a difference because I'm
yeah.
mine.
give me one and tell me it's the other one. What's the difference? Yeah.
But the reason why you should wear a shield, it's not required, but you should wear a shield is because the cars we're racing in have no windshields in them, and the old mud begins to fly.
Yeah. All right, now, we're kind of short on time. How many blind people will do this year? Do you know? How many was there last year?
Last year there was 24. This year, so far, they've got 19, but they're open for 28 drivers to be registered.
And this is on June the what?
June 9th at Lebanon Valley Speedway in Lebanon, New York. You can go probably to www.lebanon, LEBANON, valleyspeedway.com.
Uh-huh. All right.
And it'll list IROC. A couple of years I was putting the letter I, but it's EYEROCK is the name of the race. And it's a fantastic program that I got to tell you, I like to see done from the state of Texas to Alaska and back and forth because it gets us as blind folks out there to have a blast once a year, to do a great fundraiser. Maybe some year we can do something like this for Blind Mice Mart.
You know, you need to look around. There's surely Clear Channel doesn't own all the stations in the market. Find a station that's independent that will. Clear Channel's kind of a jerk company anyway. Find a radio station that Clear Channel doesn't own to sponsor you next time.
Fantastic idea, Phil. I appreciate that idea. Blind Mice Mart back,
listen.
And Blind Mice Mart and whoever else could back Dale to get him up here. I'll even let him jump in the pool before he goes so he cools off.
There you go.
You talk about a guy full of good ideas.
So much. I'll be so cool because, you know, I'll be in the lead, man. I'll be in the clean air.
Yeah, he will.
No, wait a minute. I'm going to invite you up here, then you're going to get in front of me? I don't think so.
Yeah. You'd have to hold him back.
Now it's going to be the challenge race. Huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
Listen, do some recording from the race and the night things are over. What day is the night on? It's on a, what, the ninth? It's on a Saturday. Yeah, give me a call when it's over and send me the MP3 file that you got. Let me edit it and run some of it on the radio on our shows. And call me and let me know how you did while you're still excited and still on that good adrenaline high. Okay?
Okay. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
All right, Brother Lee, we thank you, and we won't make it so long next time, you know?
Have a great day.
We appreciate you.
Bye, Lee.
All right. Lee A. Stone from New York. Brother Gene lives in Maine. We've had him on a couple of times.
Yeah.
He's kind of a builder. Does all kinds of...
We're going to call Gene, in fact, here in a few weeks and talk with him again. We've already talked about that.
That's pretty exciting that all those blind guys were... That'd be Dale Campbell, that's just you know, isn't it? I mean, it's just...
I tell you what, that would be so much fun, y'all. That would be just a blast.
It would be
fun.
And, you know, and if you don't win, see how many people you can take out with you.
That's it. I think that's what they do, actually.
I think so.
That's what Lee does. I think Lee thinks it's still a demolition derby. No, I just, you know, hearing him talk about it. But that'd be a hoot, man.
Yeah. It'd be great fun. Anybody got a subject? Anybody got a subject here? Dale, you'd have something to talk about when we come back, won't you?
Yeah, I'll have something.
I thought you would. What a guy. What a guy. Dale Campbell's with us. Don Patterson, Don Shaw, Phil Parr with the Blind Handyman Crew. Back in just a minute. The Blind Handyman, they call us the Blind Handyman Crew. I have no idea where that came from. But here we are. Let's put Don Shaw's mic on. Do this. And Dale Campbell's with us from lovely, beautiful Clear Lake City. Isn't that where you live?
Clear Lake City, south of Houston, right next to NASA.
All right.
Yeah.
What have you been building?
Industrial strength astronauts with bionic diapers and all kinds of crazy.
And you got those shelves in the garage turned upside down.
You got those cabinets in there upside down, and man, that has worked out the best of anything I've done, I think. I mean, as far as building all that cabinetry, doing that,
that was a neat project.
It would have taken a long time to build that much neat, nice cabinetry.
Well, and it ended up costing me about $150 more by buying all the cabinets prefab than it did if I would have bought all the lumber straight out. But that's not including the time to do it. That's not including the hardware.
Yeah, look at the
plus,
time.
You know,
and
having to hang doors, build drawers, all that time-consuming stuff.
Yeah, and this way you got raised bevel doors, nice-looking doors. They all look nice. The only thing is you had some drawers you had to turn upside down, right?
Yeah, and basically all I did there was pull them out, take the glide tracks off the bottom and put them on the top and slide them back in.
That's all there is to that.
Yep.
So that worked out really well.
What else is going on?
What we've got going on, you know, we took that big ash tree down in the backyard.
No, I didn't know that.
And
got your old buddy, the tree guy that talked to us?
Yeah, the tree trimmer guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, he's long since gone. He's ex-brother-in-law, or ex-in-law now, man.
Oh, is that right?
He got kind of shady.
Really?
So he's not with you anymore?
No, no. Even his own sister even disowned him.
Well, we won't be calling that guy next week, will we?
No, no. But we use the company he worked for. That's who we had come out and take that tree down. And, I mean, it was a 28-year-old ash tree. It was huge. The trunk on it, you know, the stump is about 3.5 to 4 foot.
Really?
Wow.
And what I wanted them to do was cut that thing off at about 2.5 foot, and we were going to use it for a tabletop or something out there. But in the process, our lines got crossed, you know, miscommunication, and they cut it off pretty much flush with the ground. They couldn't grind it out because we had a deck in the deck is all around it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been looking into getting that dude out of there. And the stump killer, you know, the stuff you can buy, my goodness, a little bitty bottle of that, I think it's 16 ounces, is like $6 or $7.
Well, and that's going to get in the groundwater, and that's not a good idea, is it?
Well, and what they suggest to do with that is to drill a bunch of holes in it, and I'm thinking, holy cow, you know, they suggest 1-inch holes, and I'm thinking, this is a 4-foot diameter stump. I'll be out there for 4 weeks drilling. But in researching this and looking into it, there's a couple things I can do that
ice cream salt.
A lot cheaper.
Ice cream salt.
Yeah. Ice cream salt.
Yes. Rock salt.
And what will that do?
It'll kill the stump.
Well, yeah, but it'll still be there.
Well, but once it kills it, it'll start deteriorating.
Uh-huh.
And then you can come back with charcoal, like, you know, just a regular couple bags of charcoal and lay on top of it. And it'll actually, you know, light the charcoal, and it'll actually burn the stump out.
Man.
That's weird. What now? Ice cream salt to begin with. Just pour plain old rock salt around it.
No, what you want to do is drill your holes again, and then put salt in the holes, and then, you know, put, you know, warm water in there.
Okay.
And what it'll do is that salt will go down, it'll drive, you know, get into the roots of the tree, and it'll kill the roots. And that'll cause the stump to die.
So, Dale, how, is there a square out of your deck? Did the decks totally surround the tree or just partially?
It partially surrounded it. Basically, where the tree stump was at, it was between the edge of the deck and the fence.
There was about
a 3-foot area there that was like flower bed, if you will.
So you'd have to tear the fence down or something.
Right.
I had a big tree like that, and we took it down, and the stump was at least 3.5 feet across. And they cut it pretty much at ground level. I built a raised flower. I put garden timbers around that puppy, for, you know, 8 feet by 8 feet by 8 feet, and filled it up with dirt. In about a year and a half or 2 years, that stump rotted away. It was
right.
I just covered it away. You could plant something there. In fact, I planted a garden the first year. Best garden, vegetable garden on top of that. And then in a couple of years, I just removed those, and the stump was...
Might be an option.
Adios. So,
yeah.
I tell you, when they cut that tree, I bet your pool was a big mess, wasn't it? I mean, limbs and leaves everywhere.
Well, it was just leaves. You know, that ash tree. Holy
I
cow.
Bet.
You know, that thing was huge.
Yeah.
And we also discovered in the bathroom, we've got like a sunken tub to where the tub is more or less down in the foundation.
Uh-huh. Right.
And Candace noticed a place in the back where there was like muddy water seeping in.
Oh, my.
And
not good.
The only thing I could guess was it was a root. You know, a tree root coming in. Because, I mean, as far as where that tree sat, the tree was probably only about, gosh, maybe 10 feet from the house.
So did y'all do this just to gain more space, or was the tree diseased? I mean, was this a cosmetic thing on your part or a disease?
No, it was more cosmetic and preventive maintenance than it was because of the tree being diseased.
Boy, there's nothing any more deadly to concrete slabs and sidewalks and houses if you got a big tree too close.
That's right.
Man.
Yep.
Well, and yeah, I mean, not only the roots getting in and tearing it up, but also the roots, I mean, they suck so much water that it'll cause slabs and concrete stuff to start dropping.
Well, then you got water coming in around the rim of your bathtub, muddy water in the house.
Yeah, and it's basically just a little trickle. And we tried patching it with some stuff, and the patch would never hold.
Man.
So now that the root's out of there, I mean, now that, the, you know, we've taken the tree down, and, of course, what I was worried about, too, was that happening to the pool. That's all we need is a tree root growing through the side of the pool.
Well, yeah, that'd be a disaster.
Well, you know, I'm sure glad that's your house and not Luann's, because she'd call somebody out and have them rip the bathroom. I mean, you know,
yeah.
She'd never put up with that little trickle of that. That's terrible, Dale.
Oh man,
what a deal.
We aren't too far from that here.
what did you do with the ash wood? Did you just let them haul it off, or did you have them?
I just let them haul it off. Yeah, I had them save me. They cut me two slivers that are, you know, about 2 inches thick.
Is ash a hardwood?
Diameter. I'm going to sand down and turn into tabletops.
Ash is a hardwood, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a junk hardwood. I mean, these were Arizona ash,
and
life expectancy of the tree was 30 to 35 years anyway, so it was pretty much at its end.
Okay. Well, I was just thinking this huge ash tree would make, you know, you hear furniture that's made of ash.
Oh, yeah, you could have built a ton of furniture out of this.
You really could if you'd had a sawmill to cut it up into board lengths.
If we would have been somewhere where there was a sawmill near, I'm sure we could have paid somebody to take it out.
Well, see, there's lots of them in East Texas.
Lots of them here.
Lots of sawmills up here. In fact, there's lots of guys that have portable sawmills that would probably come to your house. You know, well, sir, we appreciate you, and the tool deal is a good deal. It's how much? 80 what? 80, 89?
80 bucks.
$80.
$79 even.
$79 even. You'll ship it to them, and you'll have these. It's made by Drillmaster.
Drillmaster is the brand on it. Great little tools.
Little wonderful inside tool.
Yeah, sounds like
inside
a
inside tool. There you go.
I'll call you tomorrow about the scales, Dale.
Yes, do that, please.
All right.
Yeah, I got one with your name on it.
Thank you, sir.
He's unhappy with my scales because they weighed him at, I'd rather not say what they weighed him at.
They keep telling the truth.
They keep telling me.
Don's on it too, and I'm like, wait a second, ain't no way I weigh that much, man.
Don's on a great diet. He's lost a half a pound in a month.
A pound, I beg your pardon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
Pound
a month. Go on the diet our neighbor goes on. Olga goes on the wine and cheese diet. She just drinks wine and eats cheese for a weekend.
I need to add the cheese.
All right, Dale, thank you, sir, and we'll talk to you today or two.
Have a great one.
And we will. All right, guys, we appreciate you. Let me hang up here. Hang up. Let's see. Let's listen.
Escape. Skype trade. Escape.
There we go.
I want to hear it make that little noise.
Yeah.
Wonderful little noise it makes. All right, thank you, Don Pat and Don Shaw. And if Houston's in the hospital next week, we're going to take a recorder up there and do part of show 200.
Part
from his
of show
hospital,
200, yeah.
From his old hospital room.
Yeah.
What do you think, Don?
Sounds great.
Sounds good. You can try to stay awake till we get
that loud.
Until show 200, huh?
All right. We'll do it again next week. I'm Phil Barr, Don Patterson, Don Shaw. Thank you much. I see you said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.